The idea that no one is looking at the model presented by Mayor Rudy Giuliani in New York, which was very simple. If you throw a rock, you're arrested. If you throw a bottle, you're arrested. And all of a sudden, New York was, and it literally was almost overnight, New York became safe.
The John McCullough Show, weekday evenings at 6 on The Patriot.
Dennis Prager here. Let me tell you about something medically that works. How is that for an intro? I'm about to say it because I never really thought I would. I took Relief Factor as the first pain reliever I would ever endorse because of how it worked for my wife and my colleague Hugh Hewitt. Now I can tell you this thing is, I've called it something just short of a miracle. I had an ongoing pain, not a terrible pain, and I simply assumed I would just live with it because of my workouts. It just keep recurring. Then I got some knee pain as a result of some of the workouts. I decided I would take Relief Factor for the knee pain, and now both are gone. It's amazing. ReliefFactor.com. All I ask that you visit their website, and then you decide whether or not to try it. Obviously, it can't help everybody. There is no such thing on earth, but it certainly helps a lot of people, and now I include me as one of them. It's a phenomenal product, and it's all natural. You can't take an anti-inflammatory like ibuprofen for an indefinite period of time, but you can take Relief Factor. So go to ReliefFactor.com.
Huge group of people, and they're all in line waiting to do something, and they're all happy about it. Don't you wonder, okay, what's going on? What am I missing here? What are these people excited about? In this case, it's thousands of people doing the same thing. They're joining MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses. It's that simple. It's growing like crazy because it works. Think about it. You don't have to deal with health insurance companies anymore or government health insurance. Instead, you're part of something you believe in. You're part of a community of people supporting each other, and you can save so much money. This could be the answer you're looking for, and it may be one of those things you start doing and then wonder, why didn't I look into this a long time ago? Find out more. Don't miss out. Call 844-41-BIBLE. Now, it's available everywhere but Montana. 844-41-BIBLE. That's 844-41-BIBLE.
Back on Sports Talk with legendary broadcaster Bob Wolf. Here's Ron Cameron.
Okay, we're talking with Bob Wolf in just a moment on Sports Talk, and we're going to take your calls in a couple minutes at this number, 800-923-9385, 800-923-9385. You can email CameronSportsTalk@yahoo.com. I guess everything's all set in there, isn't it? It's got him on hold now. Now what's going on here?
We just lost connection. We're going to get it right back.
How do you know you're getting it? What happened? Okay, well, looks like we'll be joined by Bob Wolf in just a minute. Let's find out what happened here, though. Sky Grill in Southfield features the best in Mediterranean cuisine. Deboned chicken, shish kebabs, and the best chicken and beef shawarma in town. Sky Grill serves lunch and dinner 7 days with dynamite lunch specials. Sky Grill is on Southfield Road between 11 and 12 Mile. Call Sky Grill at 248-557-0909. If you have chronic pain or health problems with no answers, go to Orion Family Spinal Center to get your nervous system checked. Now, your nervous system, folks, it controls your whole body, causing a lot of problems, including back pain, headaches, digestions, and much more, and a lot. Even concussions are involved in this. This guy's coming in for an interview a little bit next week, but the following week is going to do about a five-minute interview with this guy. This is some. If you have any pain, you should tune in next week for, and it's easily treated too. Now, Chris Bennett is one of the just very few doctors that treats, gets to the cause, and eliminates those symptoms. Major insurance is accepted. Orient Family Spinal Center is on the corner of Walden and Baldwin Roads. For a free consultation, go to OrientFamilySpinalCenter.com. OrientFamilySpinalCenter.com. He's coming in next Saturday to just a teaser what he's going to talk about the next week for you people. You've got to listen to this. You're going to have to listen to this, doctor. We're talking with Bob Wolf on Sports Talk and taking your calls now at 800-923-9385 or email CameronSportsTalk@yahoo.com. Bob, how are you?
Oh, great. Nice to hear from you again.
Yeah, boy, we go way back, don't we?
A long time.
A long time, and then some. You've now you're still on the air in New York, too, aren't you?
I'm still on the air, TV, and radio.
This is unbelievable. What a career. You're the first broadcaster ever. Is that right?
You're going back to the Don Larson game?
No, the first broadcaster ever.
Not the first broadcaster ever.
I mean the first sportscaster ever.
I'm the longest-running sportscaster, TV, and radio of all time.
But weren't you the first one on the air, too, sportscaster, in New York? It was in New York.
The chances are I was, but I know Guinness puts me down as TV and radio broadcaster, longest running in history.
And how many years now?
I've been on the air for 73 years.
That is just fabulous. And you and I, as I say, go back a long, long time, Bob.
Every morning I wake up, I'm saying, I'm delighted I'm here again.
Now, you, of course, you did the presidential debate with Harry Truman.
That's correct. And Dwight Eisenhower, too.
Oh, my God. Now, what was that like back then doing that? I know we're getting off the sports theme here a little bit, but we all know Harry Truman won the presidency, didn't even know when he was asleep, and somebody knocked on his door and said he thought he lost. Dewey won. Dewey won. Dewey won. Everybody knows Dewey won. They knocked on his door and he said, "Mr. President," he said, "I'm not the president. Go see Dewey." "No, you're the president. You beat him out." Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. Here's how I happen to be on. In the early days of TV, I mean the really early days of TV, in fact, many of the guests that I asked to go on said, no, they can't go on because those who had been on before them were so overwhelmed by the heat, they had no way in those days to cool off the bright lights that some of them fainted right on top. But it was really remarkable. But at any rate, why would I get on as a sportscaster? Because the Dumont Network, which is one of those early TV networks, was named as one of the three networks that would be able to carry the TV nationwide. As nationwide as it was then, as far west as St. Louis. And the reason they chose me is because I was doing all their sports events, political things, and so forth. And they said, this guy could ad-lib, put him on. So the other two guys were two guys from the New York TV networks. And I felt, when I, early days of how to be on TV, make sure not to tell people what they were seeing on camera, but to add to that what they were looking at by some comments. So I heard I was going to do the inaugural parade. So I found out where they were making the floats in different states. I went out to that. That was at the National Airport. So I went out to the airport. I looked at them making the floats. I wrote down what each little gadget would show on TV. I had them in front of me. And the other guys from New York, they just looked at the notes that I passed the inaugurals and the presents. So when I went on, I carried the show because I was the only one who knew what the floats were signifying.
Oh, my God. Let me ask you now, going back to Truman, we got calls waiting for you already, so we're going to go to in a minute. But going back to Truman, how did you find Harry Truman?
A very enjoyable guy to speak to. In fact, after he was elected in the presidency, when I was doing a baseball game out there in Kansas City, I called him and said, I've never met you personally, but I've talked about you in Washington, and he knew who I was. I said, can I come out and just have the fun of chatting with you for the fun of it? He said, come on out. So I went out there, took a picture with him, with a photographer, and in essence had a beautiful afternoon just speaking about politics and Truman.
Do you still have that picture?
I have that picture.
Huh?
I do have that picture, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. That is just, oh, my God. That's something.
Rod, I've been very, very lucky because I wouldn't have gotten all the big events that I had to do unless it were just being at the right place at the right time and having somebody select me. It was all a matter of where I happened to be. For example, just to be in Washington and having a chance to do that, not that I, how I got there. And I got there because I was in the war with the Navy in World War II as a supply officer who went out with the Seabees. It was a construction battalion unit. And my job with them was to make sure that we had places to live, to eat, a commissary, a medical spot, and so forth. That there were going to be a base for all the troops coming out for the next step forward. And the base was important because one had it, we're out in Japan at those days, and I had to make sure that these guys were eating well, sleeping well, and so forth. And that was my job.
You know,
when I did that, I found out that all that they had taught me in training in the U.S. before I went out was based on what you do on a ship. But I was no longer on a ship. I was in a jungle with rain coming down. We had holes in the dark we made in case we had people coming overhead and dropping bombs. And in essence, I found out that everything they had taught me up at Harvard in the training camp was had nothing to do with being at an advanced base. So while I was sitting on the sidelines, I took a lot of pictures of what we were doing. I wrote a whole new set of regulations that you had if you went out as a supply officer with the Seabees. I sent the thing back to Washington, and in 2 weeks, they flew me back immediately to rewrite all the Navy regulations, and that's how I got to Washington.
My God. Now, you did the Washington Senator games. Did
yes.
you do the presidential opening game? You know, you think I think you know what I was talking about? The presidential opening game?
Yeah, every 4 years.
No, I'm talking about the one with the president pitching, the vice president catching in the game.
Well, with the president pitching, it was a big story in D.C. The story was when he pitched the opening day, lefty or righty. Because he told me that he was ambidextrous. So I had everybody in Washington seeing what he was going to do. So he did us a favor. He threw one with either hand.
No, I mean the regular catcher and the pitcher in the game were presidential.
That's right.
No, I'm talking about, remember the one Washington, when the Red Sox, Ike DeLock pitched and Russ Nixon caught?
I'm not sure. What was it, that club?
Ike DeLock was pitching for Boston. And his battery mate was Nixon, and the president was Nixon, or the vice president was Nixon, and the president was Ike. Ike DeLock is from Highland Park here, the pitcher for the Red Sox, and Russ Nixon, the catcher, and Nixon catching and Ike pitching. That was a real battery mate there.
I'm sorry I missed that one. It's a great story. I'm glad you told us that.
Hey, let's take some calls. We got calls lined up for you now. Let's start out with JJ in Lincoln Park. You're on with Bob Wolf, JJ.
Wow, what an honor to talk to someone as esteemed and as legendary as yourself, Mr. Wolf. Don Larson's perfect game, the 58 championship, those were slightly before my time. But you were just talking about Harry Truman, the guy who was thrust into the vice president role to keep him out of the way because he was nosing around the Manhattan Project, asking all kinds of budgetary questions. And then He was an outsider. He ran it like a regular Midwestern person. None of this political correct bull larky. He told the Russians where to go. Just ran it a straight person. Didn't care what people thought about him. And my favorite Harry Truman story would be the last day in office after Eisenhower's inauguration. Eisenhower said he would give him the plane to take him back to Missouri. He looked at Eisenhower and said, I took a train to get here. I'll take a train to get home. He got in the cab, was on the way to the train station, realized he has a presidential pen still in his pocket, told the cab to turn around, went back to the White House and put it on his desk because he realized that the pen didn't belong to him. It belonged to the new president.
Oh, my goodness.
What a guy. You got to know him.
You've got some great stories. I'll tell you my story with Eisenhower. The Dumont Network, like what I did with their inaugural, was on TV. But then when Eisenhower came along as the new president, Mutual Broadcasting System said, we'd like to make you the presidential announcer on radio. I said, fine. I did it across the country. But the big story of that with Eisenhower is that when the parade came down the avenue, the last person in the parade was a cowboy who was very good at lassoing people. And I didn't know this was going to happen, but he said they made an agreement with the White House that he could throw the lasso around Eisenhower and bind him to the side, and they wouldn't get the FBI out, saying, what's happened? Making our president, nobody could touch him. He'd be pinned to the side. But it went on, and I was sitting right next to the president, close to him. Here come the lasso out. It bound the president side by side with his arms, and the FBI were rushing out. They rescued him and kept him free, but there's a lot of criticism. How could they make this a stunt in the parade, which they did? But it never happened again, and never will.
Wow.
JJ?
Those are some unbelievable stories to know those people. And can I'm going to ask you one more question. Do you see where now everybody in, whether it's the regular, journalistic media, the news broadcasting and sports, everybody has to have an opinion. They don't just report the news as it is. They have to build their opinion about everything in there. That's really beginning to annoy the heck out of me. I don't want to hear anybody's opinion on what they think about gay marriage or Donald Trump or Barack Obama. I just want them to report the news and the sports. That's what I want. I don't want to hear anybody else's opine. That's just me.
What do you think, Bob? Sports casting has changed over the years, hasn't it?
Well, the ESPN.
But you've got a very inclination as to what took place and has taken place. In order to get on the air these days, the more opinionated that you are, the better it is. Because you're different from looking down, just giving the scores and stuff like that. So it doesn't matter how you sound. It doesn't matter whether you're right or wrong. It does matter how many people will listen or look into do it. And that's exactly what's happened in the TV business.
Every TV station, their ratings are going down, every one of them.
Well, that's because of the Internet. That's because of a lot of things. But and because of cable.
Just tell you what's happening. I hardly even watch TV anymore.
People
but
get
then,
their
that's just me. You have far more many interesting people to talk to than myself.
Yes.
So get to the rest of the people. Keep up the interesting work. Thank you, Bob. Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye-bye. JJ. We'll continue on Sports Talk in just a moment. And taking your calls for Bob Wolf at 800-923-9385 or email CameronSportsTalk@yahoo.com. Legendary sportscaster Bob Wolf, my guest on Sports Talk this hour. Jay's Penalty Box downtown Ferndale is fast becoming the area's top sports bar, showing sports on many high-def TVs. Jay's Penalty Box features Angus burgers, homemade pierogies, brats, fish and chips, roasted turkey, and a killer corned beef Reuben. Tuesday, 50-cent wings. JJ's Penalty Box has lunch, dinner, and drink specials 7 days. Jay's Penalty Box, corner of Woodward and 9 Mile. An Accurate Denture in Belleville does dentures, partials, extractions, root canal, crowns, bridges, and cosmetic dentistry for adults and kids at affordable prices with senior discounts. Most insurance is accepted. Accurate Dental Dentures on Sumter Road west of Main Street. Call 734-697-5477, 734-697-5477. And Daily Diner in Waterford serves a variety of sandwich. Nice place, folks. They have burgers, dogs, specialty salads, homemade soups, breakfast, unique variety of omelets, and you got to have Daily Diner's famous Hillbilly Eggs Benedict with the raisin toast, which is the best. Breakfast and lunch specials 7 days, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Daily Diner on M59, just west of Telegraph. Good food there, folks. Okay, we're talking on Sports Talk with legendary sportscaster New York Bob Wolf and taking your calls at 800-923-9385 or email CameronSportsTalk@yahoo.com. Go to Speaking of Cowboys with Lassoos, Cowboy in Windsor is here with Bob Wolf. Go ahead, Cowboy.
Oh, hi, Ron and Alex. And once again, it's an honor to speak to you, Mr. Wolf. Now, Mr. Wolf, I'd like to know if you ever work with Bob Costas and Bob Page in New York. Take it off the air. And thanks for putting me on, Ron and Alex. And again, it's an honor speaking to you, Mr. Wolf.
Work with Bob Page. Oh, God. That's where I last saw Bob Wolf at Bob Page's house. They had a party, a media party, and the doorbell rang. I didn't know any of these people there. I went and answered the door, and there's Bob Wolf and his wife standing right there.
Well, you mentioned two of my all-time favorites. Bob Costas has been a good friend of mine for years. I haven't personally worked with him on the air, but he's been on a lot of the shows that I've done as one of my top guests. Bob Page, who did give opinions, excellent ones, also has been a good friend of mine. And basically, they're guys who are fun to be with, whether you're on the air or not. They're just getting good people.
Well, he was with me for 6 years until I ran him off to New York. And then he replaced Cosell, as you know, on the network. And then he got depressed and had to come visit me in Arizona because he was depressed. And I said, Bob, you gave one too many opinions and they fired you. You know, that's a problem. You should go home. Do you know I'm going to stay with you? So he stayed with me for 6 weeks till I finally kicked him out. I kicked him out, Bob, when my other roommate or my roommate came by, Corey Lytle. You remember Corey Lytle killed himself in the plane crash, of course. He came by, and then Page went back to Detroit. And that was spring training when he was with Oakland back in the whatever year that was. I don't even remember right now. And
so it takes a lot of luck.
Yeah, of course, you both lived there. He had the house until he sold it in Nyack. And you were a neighbor of Bob's then at that time.
That's right.
Yeah.
What the problem is nowadays is that the rates that they paid the big stars who were opinion makers, they finally decided to get rid of them all. And get a lot of people who work for far less. And as a consequence, you'll see Chris Berman all of a sudden is gone, Red Musburger is gone, on and on, because they don't want to pay big salaries when there's not that much money coming in, and they prefer to work with lesser-paying people.
Like they do in Detroit, you reach the age of 60, a little over 60, you're done. I don't care how good you are. They want to get younger and cheaper and not better either, I might add.
No. And basically, the other week, I read ESPN with all the high price stars. They said, we're going to get rid of 50% of them, just like that.
Yeah. Things changed, Bob, over the years, that's for sure. But you're still on it, and I'm still on it. As long as we're still on, we're fine.
They have to pay a lot for those TV contracts that they get.
Yeah, right.
Billions and billions.
Yeah, billions of dollars. That's why the athletes are making all the money and not producing. You have an email, go to it.
Yeah, Jeff from Ferndale. Bob, which one of these is the biggest thrill in your career? So Don Larson's perfect game, the Colts' first overtime championship title over the Giants, Jackie Robinson's last major league hit, which won Game 6 of the World Series in 1956, or the Knicks' only two championships in 70 and 73?
you picked some great ones.
Yeah.
But I thought the two that stood out as a personal achievement was without doubt Don Larson's perfect game. But it was a quick game, a little over 2 hours, very few pitches being thrown, and certainly none of them the hits by one team. And Sal Magley was the other pitcher, pitched a darn good game as well. But it was a thrilling moment for me at Yankee Stadium, and I had to worry about should I mention it's a no-hitter in progress or try to take it away and avoid that superstition. So I made a deal with the producer of the show, Joel Nixon. I said, Joel, I'm not going to mention the words no-hitter, perfect game, but I will say
no base runners.
Yankees are the only ones with any hit. Yankees are the only ones with people on base. But there's no question in anybody's mind, but I avoided it until the end. It's a no-hitter, a perfect game for Don Larson. That was the end.
that was something. Let's take another call. We got Kurt and Frazier. You're on Sports Talk with Bob Wolf.
Thank you. Bob, I know you announced for the old Washington Senators, and what I want to ask you is, besides yourself, who was the best baseball announcer that you knew?
At that time?
Well, your whole career.
Well, very
who was
honestly,
the best?
I don't think, personally, that there's ever been the greatest, because basically each of these guys who are good at it have their own way of doing it. Bob Costas has a more judicious style, somebody who understood the game, noticed how to present it, and so forth, whereas somebody else comes along with a more yelling style, like Harry Carey,
yeah.
Harry Carey is one, with Harry Carey, a foul ball isn't with him. So, a foul ball! You know, it made no sense, but that was the style he did it. Joe Garagiola.
Well, what about... How would you rate? How would you rate Vince Scully, who just retired? Vince Scully, did you know him at all?
I knew not well, but I knew then we met at the ballpark constantly. We were both on the World Series, not side by side. I did the radio in 56. He was on the TV. But then, even doing that, had been told to be on TV that you have to speak less. So when it came to the World Series, he did speak less. He didn't mention that at the end of the game, after the strikeout, so Yogi Berra ran out, leaped on Larson's arm. It was the picture of the World Series with a little guy jumping up on the big guy.
What did you think of Ernie Harwell?
He didn't mention it because they told him, don't give the details. Let the picture take its space.
Picture tells a thousand words.
Things, but Vin had the greatest voice next to Mel Allen, and he guided it his own way.
And what about Ernie Harwell?
Ernie Harwell was folksy, down to earth, well loved, had his style, which was, he wasn't a yell and shout type guy, but if I put all the baseball guys together, I'd find 50 announcers, all of whom held the audiences, but very few of whom tried to copy each other.
Interesting.
Hey, Bob, you announced 5 different sports. So which was the hardest to announce? Of all those 5 sports, which one was the hardest to announce for you?
Well, each sport is different. For example, when I did ice hockey for the New York Rangers for 20 years, the first thing I had to do was make sure that I knew the ball players, the ice hockey players, so well that I could keep up with the play-by-play, just like you do it on the radio. I did it on the TV, which is the way they do it now. So there wasn't much time there to give any opinions or anything else except give the names Smith, Jones, over the ground, and so forth. But
right. Fast-moving game, right. And did you think the Washington Senators made a mistake when they traded an early win to the Cleveland Indians?
The early win was one of my personal favorites. As a matter of fact, I used to go out and pitch batting practice to him because he was the best hitter on the team. He was the pinch hitter as well. And he always appreciated how much I did on a personal nature. I, by the way, acted as the Senators' batting practice pitcher just for the fun of it. But I thought Wynn was one of the all-time greats, which he has. But with the Senators, they didn't have much money, so they couldn't afford to have many pinch hitters or other players who could hit. So they just had what they could accomplish. Harlan Killebrew finally arrived there, Bob Charles Ellison, some of the others. But it's tough to figure out the best one because they really isn't.
Yeah, I didn't realize that he had 17 home runs and batted .214 for his career. Early win was quite a hitter, I guess.
I didn't know he hit that either. Let me see one thing about the Washington Senators, Bob, is my buddy, who later on became the president at the Manatee College in Florida, came on my radio show when I was in Florida, and I know you know him quite well. We just lost him a year or two ago, as Steve Korchek.
Oh, yeah. Terrific guy. Went to GW College. I used him often on my radio or television show, but preceded the actual play-by-play, and he was a delight to have on the air.
He was the president of Manatee College in Sarasota.
That's unusual, isn't it?
Yeah, he was a great man. He came on my show and again. Kurt, I appreciate the call. Thank you.
Hey, thanks. And, Bob, I hope you get to be 100. You got some great stories to tell, and you sound like you're in your early 70s.
All right, thank you, Kurt. We're talking with Bob Costas. Bob Wolf on Sports Talk. And we're taking your calls for the legendary New York sportscaster at this number, 800-923-9385. Or you can email CameronSportsTalk@yahoo.com. We'll take more calls and emails and more questions for Bob Wolf in a moment. Rusted Crow by Comerica in the new Little Caesars Arena. They're on many high-def TVs and has many on high-def TVs. Rusted Crow Detroit features a variety of entrees, including The award-winning mac and cheeseburger, Rustic Crow, has handcrafted spirits and cocktails. You'll dine in a rustic, eclectic atmosphere. Rustic Crow has lunch, dinner, and drink specials Tuesday through Sunday. Rustic Crow, a perfect place to go before and after the games downtown. Rustic Crow Detroit, on the corner of Adams and Park, on the first floor of the Kales Building. And ProMed Pharmacy in Garden City just opened, offering great deals for all your pharmaceutical needs. At ProMed, you'll save time and reduce effort, and refills are ready when you need them. ProMed has free delivery within 24 hours. Most insurance is accepted. 10% senior discount at ProMed Pharmacy on Froude Road, just west of Middlebelt. Call ProMed Pharmacy at 734-466-5001. 734-466-5001. ProMed Pharmacy. And Polsky's Pub and Grub in Clinton Township features the area's best Polish and American cuisine, homemade pierogies, city chicken, kielbasa, sauerkraut, potato pancakes, steaks, prime rib on Thursday and Friday, fresh seafood and more. And people love Polsky's homemade soups. Polsky's has lunch, dinner, drink specials 7 days, sports shown on many HD TVs, including a 14-foot crystal clear screen. Live entertainment Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, Polsky's Pub and Grub, corner of Harper and Crocker. And Buckner's, a dessert cafe downtown Pontiac, features baked goods, novelty desserts, ice cream, a variety of build-to-order sandwiches, salads, soups, and more. Open Monday through Thursday, 11:09, and Friday and Saturday, 11 to midnight. A dessert cafe at 19 North Saginaw, entrance on the side. Find Buckner's, a dessert cafe. And you can find them on Facebook. So we're talking on Sports Talk with Bob Wolf, and taking your calls at 800-923-9385, 800-923-9385. Or you can email CameronSportsTalk@yahoo.com. What do you remember? You did the Piston games for, what, 2 years in Detroit?
Yeah, I enjoyed it very much.
What's your biggest memory on that? Your best memory?
Bob Lanier, he was an all-time great.
Yeah, he's coming on the show in a couple weeks. Oh, speaking of trading early win to the Cleveland Indians, my guest tomorrow, I'm sure you're very familiar with, Hal Neragon.
Oh, yeah, great catcher.
Yes. Hal Neragon on the show. He was a coach of the Tigers in the 68 World Series. Bob, I know you've been with some great Yankee teams in New York over the years, but how would you compare that 54 Indians team to the great Yankee teams? That 54 Indians team won 111 games back when they only had, of course, 154.
Well, the Yankees, of course, have great things going for them. One is a very short right field, and they always made sure that somebody from Babe Ruth on was able to put one conveniently right into the seat there. And the Yankees always had that big center fielder, Mickey Mantle, of course, Bobby Mercer, and so forth.
DiMaggio, let's not forget Joe.
Joe DiMaggio was the first one among that group. But they always had that big home run hitter. And they often wondered, of course, if they ever made a trade between the Red Sox and the Yankees. And they put DiMaggio, and so he could hit the ball into left field all the time. And then
Ted Williams.
Ted Williams, who would hit him as well. Who would hit the most home runs if they changed ballparks?
Oh, I think Ted Williams would.
I would think so, too.
Let me ask you this, and I've said this on the phone. Some people laugh, but I don't care what they say, because Ted Williams played in a ballpark that was tough on left-hand hitters, good for right-hand hitters, the monster. I maintained if Ted Williams would have played his career in Detroit with that, you remember the short overhang in Detroit, 320 feet, but the overhang hung over 20 feet. If he'd have, because a dead pull hitter, if he'd have played his entire career in Detroit and had not lost 4 or 5 years to the war, he would have hit 1,000 home runs. What's your opinion?
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. You know, one of the great stars that the Senators could have had was a guy named, he was a right fielder for the Red Sox. What's the last name?
Roy Sievers?
No, Al. Hall of Fame player.
Al Simmons? No, that's Philadelphia you're talking about. No. Well, what are we talking here now?
Anyway, he was a young kid out of Baltimore. He came into Washington as a schoolboy.
Oh, you mean Al Kaline?
Al who?
Al Kaline.
Al Kaline, yeah.
Yeah. Played for Washington, the Tigers, yeah. He out of Baltimore.
Yeah. And he came in for a tryout with the Senators.
Didn't know that.
They said no. He was too thin, couldn't have enough power and so forth. So they sent him back, and the Tigers then immediately grabbed him. He's become one of the all-time greats. But the Senators just said no to him. We don't have the money. So that was it.
You don't have the money, and you made an interesting point. Because Kaline looked like Boney Maroney when he came up. He was very thin, did not have tremendous power. That's before the steroid days, of course. He did not have the tremendous power, but boy, he became, you're right. I've never seen Kaline. I've saw nearly all his games in 20-some years here in Detroit. Never saw him make a mistake in right field. He was
sensational.
He was sensational.
By contrast, the Senators decided that they needed a home run hitter in order to get people in the ballpark. So
Lemon, Chet Lemon? I mean, not Chet. Jim Lemon?
They got Roy Sievers.
Roy Sievers and right.
For a while, he was a tremendous home run hitter. And when Harmon Killebrew first arrived, he was out of Idaho. And the Senator Welker out there had called Clark Griffith personally to come and grab this guy. But he did. He came in as a bonus player. And Harmon.
And that hurt him. That hurt him. Because he had to play the first 2 years on the major league roster, and he sat and just sat and sat and sat and didn't play because of the rules back then.
That's right. Also, because of the fact that the Senators in left field was over 400 feet to get a home run, and he wasn't really strong enough to do it then. Some years later, they moved the left field seats in closer, and then here in there in Minnesota, became a home run hitter and a Hall of Famer.
Well, interesting you mentioned left field, but they had one home run hitter, so to speak, out there of Washington, Jim Lemon.
And Jim Lemon was another one. And by the way, Jim Lemon was one of my singing senators that I put together with Roy.
I saw that picture.
Oh. Well,
and Albie Pearson, the he's as little as you are, Alex.
Shorter than me, Ron.
Not much, 5'3" or 5'4". Not much smaller.
No, he was as tall as you can be, but he could also hit home runs. Astonishing for so little.
And a good outfielder, too, Albie Pearson.
And Pearson, I thought, was good enough to be on the national stage just as a croner. But it was comprised of Pearson, Sievers, Lemon.
Zorro Versailles?
What'd you say?
Earl Batty, Zorro Versailles?
No.
That's Minnesota, when they went to Minnesota, Zorro Versailles.
Summer was one, Truman Clevenger.
Right-hander.
They were really professionally good, and they had him on the NBC Today morning show for 45 minutes.
Really? Now, the Washington Center didn't draw that well back then, did they, Bob?
No, in fact, pardon me. Their crew was made up of people who worked in the family related to the Griffiths, who would make money just by selling the peanuts, the hot dogs, and so forth. They really didn't have much money.
And they didn't draw many fans either, did they?
No, they didn't.
Why do you think so?
Well, what was a typical crowd in Washington back in the day, in the early 50s?
You know, 5,000 or 6,000 at the game. That's it.
Why do you think they didn't draw?
Well, basically, Washington is a city where the people are rooting for every other team except the Senators. All the workers there, government people in from Detroit, Chicago, or Los Angeles, wherever, and they waited until their teams played there, and then they came out to the games. So it wasn't a city where you had born-in rooters all the time.
Big fan base.
You had to wait for the big attractions coming in and the visitors.
What did you enjoy? What sport did you enjoy doing the most, Bob?
Well, very honestly, I enjoyed every big league sport that I did. I did about 21 different sports. I had to learn them all. But the sports that I enjoyed the most were the ones with the most void and noise in the park. When I'd like the Larson, and you wait for the big roar of the crowd on every pitch, the Larson Colts, the Colts Giants overtime championship, which was won by the Colts, Johnny Unitas with his passing. I just enjoyed the feeling that I could be there and root to either side as far as the events went, and not who was winning or losing.
Let's go back to baseball. Who in your mind was the greatest player that ever lived? Was it Ty Cobb? Was it Babe Ruth? Was it...
I'd say the greatest that I...
Ted Williams.
Was Babe Ruth, because before he came to New York, he was the game's number one pitcher for the Red Sox.
Held the record in World Series shutout innings, too.
Yeah, he was great. And then he became the greatest home run hitter and perhaps the most colorful player of all. So he'd get my nomination. But number two would be Mickey Mantle, because
really? Nobody
had his power. Ruth's home runs were always high, towering balls, which then nestled down into the seats. But when it came to real power, Mickey Mantle could do it from both sides of the plate, and he also beat out bunts with his drag bunts. So I said, from getting on base, from hitting the longest home runs, Mantle was the biggest I've ever seen.
Did you ever see Ty Cobb play?
I never saw him play, but I did interview.
How did you find him as an interview, Bob?
Well, he was an older man by now. He went on with me. He wanted to tell the public that they always had him wrong. They portrayed him as being spiking people and stuff like that when he came in a second and jumped up high and into other arms. But he said, please understand that if a person wants to get even with me spiking, if I wanted to, when I came down, I could you'd come on and hurt them, but I avoided doing them in any way. I got spiked by players who potentially came down and tried to put their spikes into my flesh. So he said, please get that understood.
Well, you know, everybody, another thing, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Bob, at all, but toward the end, Bob Wolf, Ty Cobb became very rich. He owned a lot of Coca-Cola, and I know only three players, including Mickey Cochrane, came to his funeral when he died because he was despised by the players. But he helped a lot of players that were down and out at the end with a large amount of money. Did you know that?
I heard about that, and, he had the good and bad sides of him, just like everybody else.
Yeah. I met him once, too, when he 57, when he came to Detroit. I was a little tot then, and he came out and shook my hand. He was very, very nice to me in the corner of Michigan and Trumbull. I was 57 or 59, I'm not sure, just before he died, he came in. But what a base stealer, great player.
I've got a great family feeling about Detroit. First of all, as you know, I broadcast there for a couple of years. But also, when my sons were playing ball, Rick Wolf became one of the people drafted by the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then now Rick is doing very well in the writing business. He's a weekly show on WFAN New York. But he also has written about 18 books about baseball. And he was the editor of the Baseball Encyclopedia.
Really? I didn't. I remember when he played, three or four years in the Tiger chain?
That's right.
I vaguely remember that when he did, and I knew that he was your son, of course. We're talking with Bob Wolf on Sports Talk, and we don't have that much longer to go. If you have a quick question or comment for Bob Wolf, you can give us a call. Legendary sportscaster in New York, and did the Pistons for 2 years here. 800-923-9385, 800-923-9385, or you can email CameronSportsTalk@yahoo.com. Tomorrow, another guy that's been around back in those days, too. I think he's 88 now. Hal Narragon, member of the 54 Tigers and coach for the 54 Indians and coach for the Tigers in 68. But do you know what his main claim to fame is? I bet you don't know this, Bob.
Go ahead.
He was a battery mate in Barberton, Ohio, of Bo Schembechler. Bo pitched on his high school team. He was a catcher.
That's an interesting note.
Isn't it? He'll be having Bo Schembechler's stories on him. Did you know Hal that well?
Not that well, but I knew him. You know, we spoke a lot.
Oh, I have to tell him you said hi, and I'll tell him you're my guest the night before.
I got a question for you.
Yes.
You've been in the business a long, long time. What's your secret of longevity?
Yeah, I'm the longest-running sports show, talk show going. Technically the first one invented sports talk. I enjoy doing it. It's a lot of fun for me. And I've lasted since this is my 47th year. And I love it. I just absolutely love it. I'm sure you do, too, and that's why you still do it.
That's exactly the reason. But when I hear the list of your sponsors, I think you have a world record as well.
Yeah, I get a lot of people advertising. They're good people, and I take care of them pretty good, too. And if you have any questions for Bob Wolf, we invite your calls. Here's the number. 800-923-9385. 800-923-9385. Okay. Or you can also email CameronSportsTalk@yahoo.com.
Actually, I had a question for you. We're talking about Detroit, New York. Some people here in Detroit didn't quite make it in New York. How is it difficult to work in New York?
I guess we're talking, in fact, and I know you know these people. I'm thinking Eli Zarrett, who was on my show a few months ago, he's back in Detroit. Bill Bonds tried it, failed. And who? I'm missing one.
Bernie Smilovitz.
Oh, Bernie Smilovitz failed miserably in New York. And all that. Why is New York such a tough market, Bob?
Makes it unique.
Well, basically, to get a job in New York or anywhere, you have to have somebody in your corner who's boosting you at just the right time. Yeah, that's the guy we win. Get him. Particularly if that guy speaking up is somebody with power in the organization, in the sales end or the management end or something like that. It takes backing from somebody who can help you get the job, because everybody's looking for a job in New York because they pay more, for one thing, and they have more exposure there. But basically, it's not always the best guy that gets the job. It's the guy who happens to be in the right position to get it.
Interesting. Okay. Bob Wolf, my guest on Sports Talk. I'm going to take a break and come back and take more calls for the legendary New York sportscaster and emails. To call, it's 800-923-9385, 800-923-9385, or email CameronSportsTalk@yahoo.com, CameronSportsTalk@yahoo.com. Continue in a moment. Detroit Soul, changing the soul food experience. Detroit Soul features barbecue chicken, fish, fried and smothered pork chops, turkey wings, and more. Detroit Soul serves lunch and dinner 7 days, a little dine-in, carry-out, and catering for all occasions. Detroit Soul on 8 Mile between DeQuinder and Ryan. Go to DetroitSoul.net, DetroitSoul.net, DetroitSoul.net. Light Hookah Lounge in Novi has premium hookahs and a casual yet upscale atmosphere. Light Hookah Lounge shows sports on 10 big screen TVs, open 7 days from 5 p.m. Light Hookah Lounge sells hookah products, charcoals, and hookah heads to go. Friday and Saturday DJ party. Light Hookah Lounge, downtown Novi, on Main Street. Visit lighthookah.com, lighthookah.com. Heroes in Waterford is a sports-themed restaurant showing sports always on 14 HD TVs, a full bar with craft beers. Heroes has all homemade food cooked to order, the best white fish in the state, tender and juicy, direct from Lake Superior. Perch, salmon, cod, rainbow trout, and more, fall off the bone, baby back ribs, pastas, chicken, burgers, and Heroes is known for fresh Greek salads, and for an appetizer, baked brie to die for. Lunch and dinner specials 7 days. Go to Heroes in Waterford on M59, 2 blocks west of Telegraph. And College of Martial Arts in Sterling Heights. Fun, family-friendly karate for over 16 years for guys and gals from 4 to 104. Rated one of the best schools from Google, Yelp, and Facebook. College of Martial Arts, corner of 50 Mile and Shader. Online, comakarate.com, C-O-M-A, karate.com. That's a strange one, isn't it? That's their letters, though, see, College of Martial Arts. Comakarate.com. Ooh, put it that way.
It'll knock you out.
It'll put you in a coma. If you have a quick question for Bob Wolfie, very quick, please, 800-923-9385 or email CameronSportsTalk@yahoo.com. Now, you mentioned you did the NFL before it was the Super Bowl, the championship, right?
That's correct, yes.
And you did the Baseball World Series. How many World Series did you in baseball?
I did it, 3 World Series.
And the Stanley Cup Finals?
And the Stanley Cup Final, and the NBA Finals, and the Hockey Finals, then, which I did as well.
Yes, you did them all. And football, we didn't tell you in football, too.
Yeah, I did Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, Gator Bowl. So I did all the big bowl games.
You didn't do the... No, I don't think you did the... Because yeah, I didn't know you then when I went down, when the Charles White touchdown was called back. Did you do that one with Michigan? Did you do that one?
But I did a lot of Michigan games.
Whatever happened to the guy that jumped in as a co-host when I needed a co-host at Pasadena for the Super Bowl? Buddy Blattner's partner.
Buddy Blattner's what?
Partner on radio. Bob, I can't remember his name now. There was one of my favorites. You knew Buddy, I'm sure, huh?
Yes, I did.
What a great man he was. Bob Gross. He did CBS for a short time, too. Did you know Gross? Jerry Gross.
Gross.
Jerry Gross. He was Buddy Blattner's partner.
Oh, yes. I remember him now.
Yeah. What's he doing now? Is he still around?
I really have no idea.
He was just happy at the game, and I said, come on and join me. He came in and joined me for the 2 hours I was on the air there. What a wonderful guy. Buddy was one of my favorites. He used to come in town, and we... Remember Ed Kennedy did the broadcast of Cincinnati Royals?
Remember the name.
Yeah, he came in and would sit and talk with me, man, back then. Those were, you know, was a very good friend of mine. And I'm going to tell you a quick story. When he scouted at the end, he coached and played one of the great point guards of all time that never got any recognition for being one of the greatest, Dick McGuire.
Oh, yeah.
Dick McGuire was scouting, and I moved to Orlando, and I was standing in line to get my press credential. Dick McGuire was very laid back and very quiet. And I heard this guy behind me, is that you, Ron? And I, who's that would recognize me? And I turned around, it was Dick McGuire. Oh, Dick! And we started talking. I said, how you doing? He said, I'm okay. Now, how's the health? He said, well, my health was good until the other day, but it's where I'm coming back. What happened the other way? Two days ago, I had bypass surgery. And you're working? He said, I was working the next day.
Oh, darn. That's amazing.
And then my boy did the Pistons replace Dick Vitale, who was my coach in Detroit. He was telling about the time in New York that McGuire would be the chief scout, but he said he'd write short things. And he said, he'd write can't play. Can't play. And he went up to him and said, you got to write better reports than new ownership. You got to put just can't play on there. He said, okay. Next guy went to Scott. He said, can't play in this league. That was Dick McGuire. What a great man. What a great man. Bob, thank you.
Oh, thank you. It's been a great being with you.
And I'm going to have you on again in a few months again. This has been great. We got a lot of stories. Take care, Bob. What a great man, Bob Wolf. Cannoli Pastry in Dearborn features European, Italian, and French sweets, a variety of cakes, cookies, and sweet rolls made on the premises from noted chef Chuck. If you have a sweet tooth, go to Cannoli Pastry for the best pastries, including lobster tails stuffed with cannolis, their famous cronut. Cannoli Pastry is on the corner of Monroe and Michigan Avenue. An Advanced Surgery Center in Dearborn is an accredited outpatient state-of-the-art facility with board-certified surgeons specializing in ear, nose, and throat, plastic and orthopedic surgery, Advanced Surgery Center, corner of Michigan and Schaefer. For an appointment, call Advanced Surgery Center at 313-582-0100, 313-582-0100. And the Avenue in River Rouge is a nice place, folks. Features the best in Mediterranean cuisine, lamb chops, shish kebabs, hummus, Fattoush salad. People come from all over downriver for the avenue's famous shawarmas. The avenue has Angus beef burgers and fresh seafood like jumbo fish and chips and tilapia filet, Cajun spiced salmon, specialty salads and appetizers. Serving lunch and dinner Monday through Saturday. Stop by the avenue on West Jefferson between Schaefer and Outer Drive. The avenue. And don't forget to tune me in. Hal Narragon. Bo Schembechler's battery mate in high school in Barberton, Ohio. Remember the 54, one of the great teams of all time, the 54 Cleveland Indians, all those Hall of Famers. He was a catcher there. And coach for the Tigers in the 1968 World Series team. Very interesting guest. Another old-timer coming on the show next week, Bob Miller. Three straight 90-year-old guys coming on the show. We love it. Bob Miller, the legendary coach of the University of Detroit and member of the Whiz Kids in 1950, of course, making another. He hadn't been on in about a year. We need to get him back on. We got him next. A week from Sunday, not a week from today. A week from tomorrow, he'll be on the show. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you tomorrow with Hal Narragon from 5 to 7 p.m. here on Sports Talk. So, and you can also tune me in AM 1160 WPON Friday mornings from 9 to 11. Thank you, Alex.
Thanks, Ron.
Sponsored by Sports Talk with Ron Cameron.
Hi, this is Kim from Union Members Radio, where we feature representatives from your local each and every week. So tune in Sunday evenings from 7 to 9 p.m. And in the meantime, before the show, check out the website at unionmembersradio.com, where you can catch up on the latest news from your local and where you'll find trusted resources to serve your everyday needs. That's unionmembersradio.com. All right, be sure to tune in this Sunday at 7 p.m. This world from
dragging me down. Funeral expenses. There, I said it. That's not a topic that we like to talk about with our loved ones. We like to pretend that it's never going to happen. And when it does, it can make life very difficult for those we love. Did you know that the average funeral can cost over $8,000? Let's not leave our loved ones with a financial burden as the last gift we give them. If you're between the ages of 50 and 85, obtaining a final expense policy from Final Care Direct can be one of the most thoughtful gifts you can give your family. We offer